It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Wow, what a panel. Ed Bott is here from ZDNet. Owen J.J. Stone from IQMZ.com. And Ann Pruitt from Tech Republic. We're going to talk about the Apple joining the four comma club. Universal basic income. Is it a good idea or just more BS from Silicon Valley? Speaking of which, blockchain seems to be going down and the Surface Go is up and up. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 678, recorded Sunday, August 5th, 2018. Popcorn and brown liquor. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. You can save $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/TWiT and using the promo code TWiT at checkout. And by Stamps.com, buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter TWiT. And by LastPass, secure every password-protected entry point to your business. Join over 33,000 businesses and start managing and securing your company's passwords today. Learn more at LastPass.com/TWiT. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/TWIT2. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. I am so looking forward. I say this every week. It sounds like a broken record, but I am. I'm so looking forward to this. My old friend Ed Bott is back from Santa Fe. He's at the ZDNet Ed Bott Report. Is that named after you, Ed?
No. I just inherited it.
There's actually been 30 Ed Botts. It's like Spencer the Cat, right?
Yeah, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Maybe I should start recruiting people to take over from me.
You're the next Ed Bott. I want to do that with me. I think, in fact, I think it might have happened. They won't tell me, but I believe that this is the fourth clone that's hosted the show over the past intervening decade. But I'm not sure.
Orphan White.
That's right. That's right. There's 18 of us. Also here, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Oh, Doctor, you're on an orange background now, and J.J. Stone. I didn't know you could do that.
It's reddish, and I could change it. Well, I got the Philips Hue lights. I'm a Chrome man, master my domain. I don't have the pictures up right now, so you just got colors to deal with.
How
right
do
now.
You
represent my first place,
Philadelphia Phillies? The Eagles won last year in the Super Bowl. The Phillies going to win the World Series this year, right?
If they won the World Series this year, I'd probably jump off a bridge. So let's hope they don't win the World Series this year.
That'd be too much.
Let's just calm down. It'd be too
Life
much.
Life can't be that good.
Not all the time.
Also joining us right now, he's a Clemson fan, so we won't mention. But the color's good, right? That's the right color. Mr. Ant Pruitt.
Yes, I am.
How you doing, Ant, from Tech Republic? Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I know Mr. Doctor was quite ecstatic from Weapon X being a Hall of Famer from the Philadelphia Eagles, as well as a Clemson alum, Mr. Brian Dawkins. Yep.
You guys Dawkins, talking sport T.O. ball again, right?
Who's a sport ball? There's technology in that. There's stats and mathematics and addition and new helmets and rules and aerodynamics, all kinds of technological warfare going on in sports nowadays.
Yeah, actually, that was a story that even those of us not in Philly heard about, because he dragged a bunch of Eagles fans to the Hall of Fame with him, didn't he?
The Hall of Fame always brings everybody out. You know, everybody comes out and supports. It's a fun night. Guys give speeches and people cry.
I love it.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's nice.
Oh, and his favorite player is Ronnie Lott.
Oh, nice.
49ers. That's your connection 49ers. Out there. He gives it up to Ronnie.
And
the greatest safety of all time.
A further connection, you gave my wife a Ronnie Lott jersey.
Nothing but the best for Lisa.
Nice.
Nothing but the best.
You know what I have? I was so stupid. I bought a Colin Kaepernick jersey.
Oh, boy.
I don't dare wear it.
Why can't you wear it? For you?
I'm
you
afraid should. I get stoned. I was a fan. No, you know what? I remember because I remember the year before, actually wasn't. It was the preseason before he got moved up to take over the quarterback role of the Niners. I watched him in the preseason scramble and score a touchdown. I thought, that kid's good. And then, of course, he took us to the Super Bowl. I was very impressed. So I bought the jersey. I thought, this guy's a superstar. He's going to be a franchise quarterback.
He's a superstar in his own way.
I just love him.
He
still.
Sure is.
I love.
He's
Colin
still a superstar.
He still is.
Even maybe, though, maybe even more so.
Yeah, in a way, he sacrificed his career for his beliefs. So well, I guess
if you're not going to wear a sundae over here, I'll let the kid wear it.
Really? You'd let Aaliyah wear a number 7 Kaepernick?
My buddy has a Eagles Kaepernick jersey with the number 7 on it. He's a gangster. I don't feel like spending my money to make one, but it's pretty awesome.
She would look like she was wearing a tent if she wore.
Oh yeah, no jersey. Doubt she's grown into it. She still wears my dad's Dawkins jersey, and it's funny when she was a baby. Now she starts to your legs, so she'll grow into it. Don't worry about all that. Let's get into technology before they skewer.
I
us
know sport ball.
The comments we quickly technologicalize me something.
Say Apple, something. Apple record quarter, $1 trillion company, the first to be worth $1 trillion in the United States of America. Even, worth more. My favorite stat, that's the New York Times. You could click the start button on that if you're watching the video. This is a really great infographic, animated infographic the New York Times did. My favorite, factoid from all of that is that Apple is now worth more than the entire United States media industry, all the TV, all the radio, throw in Disney, Comcast, throw them all in. They don't add up to $1 trillion. Does it mean anything at all to anybody? It's just a number. It's 4 commas.
Who are you starting with?
Ed Bott.
Oh, God.
And well, that's why I started with you, Ed.
Yes. You know, market capitalization is such a distortion of everything these days. There's a handful of big companies that have basically having money funneled into them in ways that remind me very much of 1999 and 2008.
You think it's bubble time?
Well, I mean, who knows? You know, if I knew that, I mean, I'd be a billionaire.
Yeah.
But it sure reminds me of that time. And we already saw a little inkling of what can happen when things turn on a company with what happened to Facebook just 2 weeks ago, losing $120 billion of their market cap in one day. I don't think Apple is in any danger of having that happen to them
momentum. Let's ask this question. Is Apple being worth a trillion and have this big bump in its stock price that important to Apple compared to Facebook losing $120 billion in its market cap? Does market cap have – it doesn't mean the company's got more money. It means there's more value in the shares. That's all, right?
Yeah, it's just value. I don't think it's – I look at it more as like monopoly money. It doesn't really mean anything until you don't have any.
I guess, though, for morale purposes, it matters. Your employees who probably have stock options are paying attention to this, unfortunately.
So when it comes to tech and the stock market, it's such a scam because they don't evaluate technology the way they do other markets. It's not like oil and gas and things like that. It's just on how they feel when they want to make free money. You know, Facebook does what it's supposed to do, and then they tank Facebook. And thanks to Jiminy Christmas, that losing $15 billion doesn't make Zuckerberg jump out of a window just shows you how much real money he actually has, that he's like, okay, whatever. But he's doing the right thing, and the market doesn't reflect that because they want you to keep being corrupt and making free money on top of money on top of money instead of saying, hey, let's adjust and pivot and keep growing and have trust in our company and our brand. The stock market is such a scam. It's ridiculous. And them being worth $1 trillion, whoop-de-doo. They're selling. Yeah. Every time I look at one of the markets, it's in the global scale of things, they're losing shares to other phones, other devices, and other things. They personally can't get their own media content correct. Their music streaming is down. So, again, all the things I look at in general, I'm like, sure, keep fluffing up that number and giving somebody money until you rip everybody off. So bubble or bust or whatever it is, them making $1 trillion, cookies to them. Shame on me for not putting my $100 in back in 1996.
That's all right, let's play a game. You probably already know the answer to this, all of you, because you covered this. But number one phone manufacturer this quarter, who sold the most phones this quarter? Was it Apple?
Samsung.
Huawei.
Samsung. Huawei, number two.
There it is, number two.
Number two. Apple, number three. So you could talk about Apple's stock price, which easily beats Samsung's market value and Huawei's market value. But if what you're talking about is how many phones you sold.
Unit pricing.
Yeah, that's true. Apple's phones cost a little more, don't they? Not much more than the Samsung, probably a lot more than the Huawei.
Not that much more than Samsung.
Yeah.
And it's, again, Apple does everything, and everything in Apple matters on how you feel. They make you feel like you have a gold laptop in your lap, even though it's a piece of crap without a touchscreen or SD card reader, and they tell you it's a consumer pro. Why you got me ranting about Apple?
Is this
right
going to be the anti-Apple show? No, stop it.
No, I'm always anti-Apple. I'm so switched. I got my phone left, and I got this Mac Mini left, and I'm slowly getting
away?
The drugs out of my system.
Really?
Trying to get off crack cocaine and heroin, Uncle Lee. It was hard, though.
And Ed Bott's always been a Windows guy, right? Ed, you like it.
I try to be ecumenical about these things. One thing that I thought of, though, first of all, in your ranking of the companies, that's by unit sales.
Right.
If you look at profit, the numbers are very different. Apple's margins are insane, and they're capturing, you know, what is it, 80-90% of all the profit in the entire smartphone market. But, you know, thinking back on the whole $1 trillion valuation, it reminds me of Amazon's journey. You know, Amazon is second largest company or third. They're right up there.
Yeah, all of these companies are close to a trillion. Google, Amazon, Microsoft, probably will all hit a trillion at some point.
But for years, Amazon would, you know, they'd report insane, big increases in revenue and no profit. One half percent or even a tiny loss. They'd always manage their expenditures. So every bit of profit that they were making, they were plowing back into the business. And now, just in the last 2 years or so, you're starting to see all of that stuff pay off for them. And that, to me, is more of the model of what to look for in a successful company. You know, Amazon was saying, screw the quarterly results. Screw the analysts who say you need to be paying a dividend or you need to be showing 5% or 10% profit each quarter. They were plowing it back into the business, and the funny thing is that where they are making all of that money now is on Amazon Web Services, AWS. That's where while everyone was looking at Amazon, the big e-commerce site, they were stealthily building this juggernaut of a business that is in turn running the rest of the internet.
If you buy Amazon stock, you're betting on Jeff Bezos, right? You're saying I don't know what their business is or what their business will be. But I think that big wallet that Jeff Bezos is carrying around will be put to good use. It looks like he's going to get in the pharmacy business. He acquired PillPack. God knows what drone plans he has. He certainly looks like he's getting in the position. He wants to do health care. He's gotten together with J.P. Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway to do something that looks like it's Amazon health care for employees. But obviously, if the next step is, you know, we might have single payer in the United States brought to you by Amazon.com.
Instead of healthcare by Amazon, maybe they should get like a 20-minute bathroom break instead of having to run all the way across a factory and take 2 minutes in the bathroom and not make it back in time and get punished for their 15-minute break. It's the working conditions there. I have a lot of friends. So there's a local hub around here, and so many of my friends cycle in and out. So I, you know, it drives
all right,
me crazy.
Let me play the evil capitalist for a moment, and you could shoot at me, oh doctor. They take the job. If you don't like the job, quit. Get a different job.
So they do take the job,
right? It's more than a minimum wage. It's legal.
It's more than minimum wage, and it is legal. But it's also for a company that is automated and so down to the wire. And here's the bottom line. When that man sits on TV and the way he talks about his employees versus the way they treat employees, that's what I have a problem with. If you want to be a slumlord, go ahead and be a slumlord. But don't tell me that I'm living in a luxury apartment in the sky. And yes, those people can quit. And most of those people do quit because they can't handle it. But a lot of people need a job. There's only so many jobs per area. And that place has a farm system for work. So, yes, you're absolutely right. They have the right to quit. They can get their little $10.50 an hour. They'll get their 4 hours a night or 12 hours or 60 hours or whatever it is. But again, when you're talking about healthcare and when you sit on TV and tell me how your working conditions are great, and I'm telling you that a person on the floor putting stuff in your box gets a 15-minute break, and if they had to go to the bathroom, by the time they get all the way over to the bathrooms, it's already 8 minutes, and they've got to be back in those 15 minutes or they get ridden up. And get ridden up three times, you're out. And that's just for going to the bathroom, let alone your half-hour lunch break. So the work conditions there aren't spectacular if you're on the ground. I got another buddy who does website work for them. He works from home. He's getting paid a mint living in Seattle, Washington. He's balling out of control, typing away on his computer.
But that's the way it should be. He has a high level of skills. He's doing something that is difficult and a rare job. Anybody can be a warehouse worker. They're getting paid commensurate to their value to the company. Again, I understand. I'm being the evil capitalist.
Oh, no. I feel like I'm not yelling at you. I'm saying you're right. They're getting paid for what they're doing. I'm just saying that there needs to be more humanity in those lower end jobs where the bulk and the back and the workforce is the lifeblood of your business. Especially when they're going to be turning into robots.
Is it Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Tim Cooks? Is it their responsibility to look at Google now is getting a lot of heat? Apparently, this is a rumor, they're preparing a censored version of Google search for China, the authoritarian regime that Sergey Brin pulled out of when China started to assert its authoritarianism. But apparently they want to go back in. Google employees are very upset. Is it the responsibility of these CEOs to be human, or is it their responsibility to be profitable? Isn't that their job?
It's a balance in how they should do things. And again, it's how you talk. When you sit there and tell me, I'm going to say it again. When you're on national TV talking about those people in the warehouse and you talk about all the great things they have going on.
You think it'd be okay if Jeff Bezos was the evil genius rubbing his hands in glee? If he were Scrooge and McDuck saying, I'm rich, I'm the richest man in the world, screw those employees. Then it would be okay?
At least it'd be honest. I mean, I'm not saying it'd be okay. It's not okay the way it is now. And bringing up Facebook. Facebook doesn't sell anything. They don't have minions in warehouses hitting the like button.
No, we're the minions. No, when it comes to Facebook, we're the minions. At least Bezos built a customer-centric company. Bezos could make the argument, no, we focus on making the customer happy, and the employees work for us, and that's their job.
Well, okay, let's back up just a little bit, though, and let's go back to Apple, because Apple has partly the same problem.
Exactly the same problem, right?
The Apple stores, the employees in the Apple stores are very much in the same boat. And, you know, what you've got is basically a situation in this country where there's two kinds of workers. Those who have skills are treated like gods, and those who are working with their bodies are treated like replaceable cogs that get discarded as soon as they break or show any signs of not wanting to be part of the machine. I would love to see the leaders of one of these companies show some moral leadership and actually say, you know, we're going to go beyond what we're required to do. You know, I think that we really need someone to set a moral example in terms of the way that they treat workers. Because right now, if you listen to your average stock market analyst or your average corporate executive, when they're talking about an earnings call, they treat any increase in wages or any increase in benefits to employees as something bad and something to be and something to be avoided. So laying off workers is good. Cutting salaries is good. Cutting expenses for workers is good. And I don't know, that just seems wrong in a country where some where a huge portion of the workforce is capable of using their bodies, capable of doing good work, but only able to earn a subsistence wage out of that.
You said something to start there. You talked about having a skill versus working with your body. And I think that's part of the problem right there is we don't necessarily look at the people that are running the retail stores as having a skill. They're selling the product. At the same time, you could go to corporate sales and be a rainmaker and make a gazillion dollars. Sales is sales and sales is a skill. But for whatever reason, we have our own little perception of, OK, you're just selling the iPad inside of the store. You know, you're not really skilled. But the second you move you out to sell ads for Apple or what have you, you know, then that's a skill. You know, and we have to fix that.
You and I, Ant, have a little dog in this hunt. You will at some point. Oh, doctor, we have kids who are entering a workplace that is different from the workplace we entered and who may be faced with some very difficult choices. I feel terrible for millennials, even those coming out of college with skills, because the jobs are disappearing. Now, this I set you guys up.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Because this brings up something that is, I think, going to rapidly be a conversation. Universal basic income. And I want to take a little break, but I want to talk about what Silicon Valley seems to like as a solution, and a guy who's running for president who says this is the solution. In Canada, there's been some experiments that were recently abandoned in UBI. I'm curious what you guys think about it, because I myself don't know what to think about it. The idea, though, a fundamental idea, is jobs are disappearing. The robots are coming. They're taking over. We better start thinking about what we're going to do about real people who can't work, even though unemployment is at a historic high, right? Unemployment's very low right now.
Yeah, it's going down.
Depends on whose numbers. Depends on whose numbers you check with.
Yeah.
And Obama's in office. Trump kept saying, I don't believe the numbers. But I don't know if I believe the numbers currently.
Now
that's all I'm saying. Currently, I don't know if I believe the numbers.
Well, that sounds like a political game. I'm just curious. I mean, some of those numbers are people who are underemployed. Some of those people have stopped looking for work, so they're not counted as unemployed. Nevertheless, it doesn't look like there's a crisis at this point, but maybe one's coming. And some people are worried about that and have a plan, which seems maybe to be voodoo economics. I don't know. I want to get your guys' opinion. So I'm going to give you a minute
to think. Put your apron on.
Put my apron on? Are you cooking? I want to know what old doc is cooking. We're going to take a break, and then the battle royale will begin. Cage match on in just a moment.
Capitalist cage match.
The capitalist cage match. You bunch of commies. You bunch of commies. We got Ed Bott here. I like to bait Ed Bott, because Ed Bott and I basically are exactly the same politically, but I like to bait you. He is great. Ed Bott Report, ZDNet, old friend too. It's great to have you on the show. Oh, doctor, who I dearly love. He's ready to go off at any moment. Be careful.
Any moment.
Anything could set him off. Oh, and JJ Stone, IQMC.com. And you know, the Zen master of the bunch here, Mr. Ant Pruitt, always calm, always reasonable, always thoughtful.
I will say this. When I saw that I was going to be on with these gentlemen, I've never been on with Mr. Bott or Mr. JJ there, Owen JJ Stone. And watching his previous appearances on here, I wanted to be prepared. So as soon as that rant comes up,
He's got a bucket, and he's and popcorn is in the bucket. All right,
I got the popcorn.
Smart
ready,
man.
I know it's going to be a show. Get I the, can't wait.
Get
for that
the
run.
Popcorn ready, kids.
I need popcorn.
I love just it. That Ant's done some Oppo research on you, Owen. He knows what's coming.
I love it. It does happen.
It does happen.
Our show today brought to you by sleep. Oh, man. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate sleep and the more I appreciate my Casper mattress. Isn't that a great moment? Now, tell me the truth. It's been a long day. You're tired. You've been working hard. The kids are driving you crazy. The job is nuts. Traffic was terrible. That moment when you get in bed, you slide under the sheets. It's so magical. It's so great. If you have a great mattress, the worst thing in the world, and I know because we were on vacation, and you get in bed, it's awful. It's a terrible mattress. And you go, what? This is my one refuge from life, and I'm sleeping on this. No, you need a Casper. In fact, I think I'm going to send a Casper to that place we rented at Tahoe. They need a Casper. Casper, is it online? Let me explain who they are. They're an online retailer, premium mattresses. That might scare you. Well, I'm not going to buy a mattress online. I got to lie on it. Well, honestly, this is where Casper came from. These guys realized that in the mattress business, there was a huge problem, which is the middleman, the mattress store. They double the price of that mattress. You pay a huge premium for the simple privilege of going in there and lying on a mattress in broad daylight with the salesperson staring at you for 3 minutes. You think that helps you decide? Maybe, but you're paying a big price for it. So Casper said, look, we could take that out of the equation. Revolutionize the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and then passing that on to you. But how do we do that? Well, this is how they do that, with the 100-day guarantee. And when you get a Casper mattress, you have 100 nights to sleep on it. You don't have to lie down in a showroom. And if for any reason you don't like it, they'll come, they'll take it, and they'll pay you back every penny, no cost. So that's a great deal. And by the way, free shipping and returns, not only in the U.S., but Canada and the U.K. too. So the original Casper mattress is the one we have, combines multiple supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's it's uncanny. Just the right sink. So when you get in bed after that tough day, you go, and you just, but you don't want to keep sinking. You want some backbone. So it's got just the right bounce, just the firm. It's the strangest combination of comfort and firmness. It's breathable. You sleep cool on these hot summer nights. That's huge. And we do know that, by the way, you will sleep better if you can regulate your temperature through the night. The Casper mattress, it smells good. It's breathable. It's comfortable. And you could try it online. Buy it online and try it completely risk-free in your home. This is the mattress you want. There's actually now more than the original Casper. They've expanded. I just want you to go to Casper, CASPER.com/twit. When you use the offer code TWIT, you could save $50 on select mattresses, and you're going to find the best night's sleep you've ever had. And that's, we know, more and more important. I'm telling you, as life goes on, you will realize there's probably only a handful of things that really matter. One of them is a great night's sleep on a Casper mattress. Terms and conditions apply. Casper.com/twit. Use the promo code TWIT for $50 off on select mattresses. My dad, who's 85, happy birthday, Dad. He turned 85 on the 30th, is all over. I keep getting email from my dad for this guy, Andrew Yang. Yang is, he says, running for president. He doesn't have a chance in the world, but you know, Dad liked Bernie Sanders, too. He's the author of a book called The War on Normal People. I think this ties right into what we were talking about, the truth about America's disappearing jobs and why universal basic income is our future. And I'm trying to come up with arguments because I'm going to see Dad in a couple of weeks. Dad, this guy, universal basic income, it's a non-starter. Is this, and by the way, Silicon Valley loves this solution. It lets them off the hook. Sure, we can make robots. We can take all the jobs. Because you guys, Yang says, we're going to pay everybody between the ages of 18 and 65 $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. He also believes in single-payer health care. I don't know how he's going to pay for this. I don't know if he knows how he's going to pay for this. Is this, Ed, is this a solution that we're looking for?
Well, I actually have a local angle that I can bring on to this. You may not know this, but my hometown is Stockton, California.
Ah.
That's where I grew up.
Love and Stockton.
The mayor
fat of city. Stockton.
The fat city. The mayor and ground zero of the housing bubble 10 years ago and the mayor of Stockton is a wonderful, very smart man named Michael Tubbs. And Michael Tubbs is, I think he's probably 28 or 29 years old now, and he's the mayor of the city. My father, 40 years ago, was the mayor of Stockton. So there's this big connection here. At any rate, Michael Tubbs is doing a small controlled experiment with universal basic income in Stockton, California. I haven't kept up on it lately, but as of about 6 months ago, that was happening. And there are some experiments going on in this country, and it does seem like a way to eliminate at least part of the basic, the sort of core baseline problem, which is at least give people a chance to get to a subsistence level.
Yeah, nobody argues that
instead of being homeless,
it's a living wage. $500 a month is definitely not, even $1,000 a month not be, but it gets you out of deep poverty. And one thing
that you probably don't have to live on the street,
right?
If something happens to you,
right. And the one argument against it, which I don't buy, is, people are lazy. They'll say, hey, thank you, and they'll never work again. And nobody's going to do that. And, well, maybe a handful will. Most people, the premise really is, if you have this kind of safety net, then you'll take more chances. You'll work harder. You'll try, you might do take a job that would be a little more risky and do better as a result. That's the argument. They were doing it in Ontario. They were doing it in Canada, in Hamilton, Brantford, Brant County, Lindsay, and Thunder Bay. And the new government in Ontario, Rob Ford's brother, just dumped it completely. Just went, that's it. In fact, you say this page was published under a previous government and is now available for archival and research purposes. In other words, it's over. So we don't know what the results are, but I'm noticing a lot of howls of pain from people who said this was a success. This was going to do well. What do you, Owen, you got an opinion on UBI? Get the popcorn.
it's not a reliable thing. We have welfare, subsidized housing. People can barely afford to keep themselves afloat on that. And again, I know how statistics work, but in the real world, there's so many people that aren't counted, that aren't working, that are living with family members and struggling with Ivan's jobs. So telling me you're going to give somebody $1,000 a month when you don't do anything about inflation. First of all, we don't have any money. You're telling me we don't have Social Security. All these other issues that we got, you're just going to start giving out free money to everybody? No. And of course, San Francisco says they want to do that. At the same time, I really could care less, because we're going to run out of water before robots start taking jobs. Is there going to be when my pipes break, is there going to be an android that comes in here and fixes my pipes? No, we need plumbers, okay? We need welders. We need people that build things. Like, the things when they say, oh, the robot's taking over. You know what it is? It's a little flat Roomba that moves shelves in a warehouse.
It ain't taking over.
it's not taking over. So, by the time you see the movie.
Yeah, but really, honestly, how long before even those Amazon jobs go away?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, pay the people now. Raise the wages. Stop doing what Walmart and Amazon does. They're like, look, you can get 29 and a half hours so that you're still not a full-time employee, so you can go get welfare from the government and let the government subsidize your pay so I don't have to.
I think you nailed it.
That job.
That's exactly why Silicon Valley likes UBI. A, it lets them off the hook. We can do whatever we want. B, oh, good. We'll make sure everybody's a contract employee, because they're getting the money from the government, and then we don't have to pay benefits. It's brilliant.
And again, we're going to run out of money. I know that this is the world. We just print money. But China one day is just going to be like, you know what? Just shut the U.S. down. And they're going to hit the button. put in code LMNOP, and the show's over. My TV's done. I can't get no cell reception. Because if you don't think they got a kill switch and everything they ship over on these boats, you're out of your mammy jammy mind. We owe them so much money already. So I don't know how this is going to work.
All right. Your turn, Aunt Pruitt. Have you thought about this at all, UBI?
I'm not well versed in it. Haven't really looked into it. But the first thing to come to my mind was we get this stuff rolling. The prices of just keeping the lights on in the house will eventually start to go up.
Right.
And I'm sure that universal benefit is not going to go up because the price just to keep the lights on in the house is going to go up. Not necessarily saying that everybody can afford air conditioning or things like that, but just the necessities of light and water.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of that's going to rise eventually. It goes up every single year.
There's also the fear that a government that's paying a UBI, universal basic income, would just then cut the rest of the entitlements. UBI, it's estimated, would cost between $1.5 and $2 trillion a year. Entire entitlement budget in the U.S. Is, I think, $1 trillion. So this is a big chunk of change. They're going to have to go somewhere. Yang says, and this scares me too, oh, you could pay it with a value-added tax. Charge tax on a national tax on everything, on production. Yeah. And that scares me as well. Although we're I think, one of the last developed nations not to have a value-added tax, right?
So here's the thing, though. You can't talk about something like this in isolation. It has to be part of a comprehensive economic plan,
yeah.
A vision for what you want to do with the populace. And, you know, if you look at the developed world right now, you're finding a lot of resistance to anything that smacks of socialism like this. And, you know, so what you wind up with is piecemeal solutions like this. A universal basic income by itself, first of all, doesn't have to cost $1 trillion. You have phase outs for it, the same way that we have phase outs for all sorts of benefits that are there in the
means
tax
testing,
code.
Income testing.
Yeah, or at least once you reach a certain level, then your basic income starts dropping at 50% per dollar that you earn until it reaches a certain level, so that you don't have people, so that you don't have Rupert Murdoch collecting $1,000 a month in UBI,
yeah.
Basically what you have is people who are in the, you know, you probably have about 50% of the population that is getting some sort of assistance. And that's the same way that the Affordable Care Act works.
Right.
So, and
or it used to work. Yeah.
Well, in most respects, it still does, because the law was never repealed and the courts have upheld most portions of it. But that's a good example of a program that had to be put together, had to be cobbled together in a way with a whole bunch of provisions that didn't make sense. And as a result, you have something that for political reasons doesn't work as well as it should. And I'm afraid that when you start talking about economic programs that benefit the entire populace, and you try to build them one brick at a time, and you argue over each brick, you're going to wind up with something that is not very solid, not very stable, not very sensible. And, you know, that's just kind of the way this country works these days.
Yeah.
I just want to say something so people don't yell at me for always being a Debbie Downer. I could literally fix America's problems with two things. The first thing is cut the defense budget 90% for 2 years. And you could even do a year on, a year off. Just cut it 90%. Just have enough money to pay everyone in our armed forces for that year. But all the rest of that money, put it into a hydro system with the water. Like, if you look at Portland, they're going in their tunnels and they're putting in hydroelectricity in the water. So when you get water coming to your house, which it pumps to the township anyway, every 10 feet or 100 yards, whatever it is, they got the little ball just rolling around and it produces electricity. Soon everybody's going to have free electricity. If somebody who always says as a president, we're going to do infrastructure, actually did infrastructure, put all that defense money into building a hydro system for water. Of course, Atlantic City Electric wouldn't like it, but the cost of just electricity would come down, which would help other costs of living. And if you did that every 10 years, say, hey, we're going to actually fix this, we're going to actually fix that, we'd be good. but we spend money on jets that are invisible and nobody can see them. And we don't use them for anything because we don't have jet fighter battles anymore. And we're building tanks that no one uses tanks anymore. And we spend all this money wasted. But if we just went and did a hydro system with the water, oh, the things that we could do if we actually did something with our infrastructure. But America, I digress.
It's the real world, though, you know, and we can imagine a perfect world, but, you know, there's humans in it, and that screws it up for everybody.
Money.
Money and humans. Bad mix.
I think about those small towns in South Carolina that I grew up in and places like rural Louisiana. You know, how are those people, those residents, affected by getting $1,000 a month and still struggling down there, and let alone dealing with things like natural disasters? And, you know, what is that going to do for them? And are they going to get any other assistance when stuff like that is going to happen?
Right. Do food stamps and Medicare go away?
Because the cost of living keeps going up.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I think it's interesting. I mean, Mark Andreessen very famously said, well, you don't have to worry about robots taking your job because the cost of goods will go down so much that it effectively life will be free. I think he likes universal basic income as well. And so it's the opposite. Everything will get cheaper and you'll have more leisure time.
No matter what you do in this world, Star Trek sounds great. Unless aliens come and we got to bond together, nothing will ever be free. Even from the beginning of time when there was no currency, there was a barter ship. You got to put in something for something. Nothing is free. And no, nothing's free.
All right, I'll tell you something that's free. You got your Amazon Echo ready? This is actually it's an ad for an insurance company called Hippo. They've created a new away mode. Protect your home with the new awkward Amazon Echo skill. They've got writers from Saturday Night Live and other places writing arguments that will come out of your Echo when you're not home and go on and on. This one, I'll play a little bit. This is a mom walking her daughter through assembling a dresser over the phone. It goes on for 68 minutes.
Cylinders into the hole. No, wait. Yeah, you put the cylinders into the holes. You see them?
This is coming out of your Echo.
Good.
When the burglars are at the door. How about this one? Book club meeting where everything but the book is discussed.
Favorite books we've read. I like that it was like a scary diary. It was super neat. Did you see the movie?
Oh, yes.
No.
Glenn and I go
This is a good one. A couple is fighting.
The TV and the chairs are mine, plus the little table.
Of course. Oh, and Roger's coming with me, too.
What? What? You don't even take care of him anymore.
I adopted him. I took him to get shots. I paid for the vet fees. He's mine.
I'm turning
If I leave him with you, you'll never scoop his litter. It'll be a health hazard for the both of you.
If I'm a burglar, I'm going to actually stand outside and listen. I want to hear what's going to happen with Roger.
I hope I don't live next to the people who turned that damn thing
turn it all the way up.
When they go away and I'm there with the, you know, with the paper thin walls, have to listen to their
didn't
skills.
You know that when you did you ever do this? I did this. We'd leave the lights on and the TV going when we left so that the burglar would think somebody's home,
right?
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Here's one passionate argument over the rules of a complicated board game. How many times does this happen?
Hand me the rule book. I'm already looking the other rule book. Not this one? The rule, that's the rules reference.
Right. The rule.
No, it's in the Learn to Play guide.
But this goes on
the quick reference.
For 47 minutes.
The tech reference?
I know the rule. I'm not a newbie.
Nobody's saying you're a newbie.
Well, you're saying it without actually saying it.
This is some of the worst acting.
The acting's terrible. Like, I grant you that.
They need, they're better off sending like a recording truck to Colorado and follow stoners around.
That's actually a better idea. Yeah,
and get some real conversation. Like, man, did
get
you know,
Elon
like,
Musk and his
like
get Elon
moon?
Musk
like,
and his brother in the hot tub. Just record a couple of hours of that, and that would
something.
That would be better.
Yeah, that was terrible.
They got writers, good writers. SNL from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, UCB. Unfortunately, they need better actors.
But it's like TV on. It is like that. I just. You know, I have a dog,
I leave my TV on. Well, actually, it's not my television. I just leave my computer running with like Netflix or something.
That's good.
Going like that.
It's like that.
But I don't necessarily do that for security. I do that just to keep the dogs quiet. White noise. That's about it.
You can all just run Twit TV. They're running 24/7.
Just run us. We sound like real people.
There you go.
Yeah,
you sound like real people.
Here's one of them. Two average guys brainstorming their next podcast.
What else is interesting?
What, dude?
Okay, so you know how much I love ketchup, right?
For sure. Remember that when you, like, drank the entire bottle?
Which time?
You're a maniac.
True that. Okay, so this guy loves ketchup.
All right. I just had to mention it. Owen.
That hurts me. It hurts.
It was so bad. Ugh.
Leo, dude. You'll appreciate this. My wife Judy and I have every married couple has secret signals, little things that you say. Yeah. So if one of us is telling a story that we've told before or going on a little too long with the story, we have permission. The way you shut that down is you say, "Wow, honey, that's a great story. Why don't you save it for your podcast?"
Yeah, but see, that wouldn't work on me because I have a lot of stories I repeat over and over again on my podcast. So,
yes.
I need something that says, "Oh, honey, why don't you save that when you're not on a podcast?" That would maybe work a little bit better. All right, let's take a break. Can we get anybody upset about Facebook? How's Facebook doing these days?
Oh, hell yes.
We'll talk about Facebook and more. We didn't really go on and on about Apple and, you know, how many iPhones they'd sold and all that stuff. And I guess
they're horrible new MacBook Pros.
I love them. Did you get one?
You got an easy bake oven?
It's not an oven. So
you got an easy bake oven?
Yeah. Boy, you know, this is an example of how one YouTuber can really ruin it for a company. You could be a $1 trillion company, but Dave2D says, "Oh, it's hot. I'm going to put it in the freezer. Look how much cooler it is." And the world, even my trainer at the gym said, "I hear those MacBooks are really hot. I don't want one." I wonder how much that's going to impact Apple. Apple, last week said, "Oh, no, no, we left out something called a digital key. I installed it immediately. It fixed all the problems. It's a great laptop. I love it." And I did not like the 2016 or 2017s at all.
You got the one with the i9?
I got the i9. It's not hot.
The laptops are hot, though.
Well, it's hot if it's working, but that's how it should be. Look at this thing Aunt Pruitt's got over his right shoulder. That thing has got air cooling, water cooling, nitrogen cooling. Because
it's beautiful, isn't she?
But when it works, it's going to get hot, right? That's why you have all that cooling.
Do you have your little transformer cube?
What is that thing up there?
That's a P2.
Pentium 2?
Yeah.
What do you have just sitting on the top? It's not going to help you on top of the machine. That's cool.
That's not going to help you in 2018.
Remember, though? You remember those P2s? It was like a slot. It wasn't
big slot.
It was
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's a slot.
Yeah. Look at the size of that thing. I like having 6 cores. It's very responsive. I'm actually very happy. And I hated the keyboards, but they put that little silicone dome, and it's just a slight difference, but it's just enough so that I can live with the keyboard. I'm not thrilled with it. But, I love the speed of that thing. Battery life's really good, too. This Intel SpeedStep's doing the right thing. It slows it way down when it's not working, but it gives me plenty of horsepower when it is. I feel like it's a nice thing.
Did you get your little transformer box to go along with it?
Yeah, the eGPU.
I'm going to tote that around with my portable laptop. Hey, Ant, why don't you just strap your computer to your back and take it with your laptop everywhere you go?
That's so right.
Get that max performance. Get that EnduraCool backpack on. Like, I mean, come on. The only thing that this laptop has is 32 gigs of RAM. Thanks for coming in to the 21st century, Apple. And secondly, you are king of touchscreens. These things cost $4 billion, and I still can't touch.
It's got a touch bar.
Who wants a bar? I want the screen. I'm hungry, Uncle Leo. The bar ain't feed me. I need the whole restaurante.
I got to say one thing. You put this next to the Mac Pro. There's the popcorn. It's out.
Keep going.
I'm saying you the thing you carry around with your head. Why, you got a laptop. Why do I need this box? And what am I going to do with it? You carry around a little suit. What are you doing with that? Why? And I know you got money. Yeah, you rock a bye, baby, that thing. It looks like a little silver.
It looks great next to the Mac Pro. It's exactly the same size.
And I can't wait till you go on vacation. Make sure you take that with you. Pack it and feel the pain of lumbering that thing around when you go coast to coast, Key West to Key Largo. Go ahead with your little pancake making MacBook Pro. Go ahead, take it.
You do have to wonder what exactly Apple was thinking. they don't make this. This is black magic. They just sell it. But
I can't get an SD card slot, though.
No, you don't need that. You need an eGPU.
But Mr. Laporte, even when I saw you on the screensavers with that thing, it didn't even help with like running motion.
No,
it still didn't seem like it was offloading any of the resources to
there
it.
There seems to be setting that each app has to have that says use the eGPU. And that is another issue. I found a script that we were able to apply that does then get the eGPU. You know, it's interesting because...
How much did you pay for this thing, Leo?
Too much.
Yeah. How much money did you give away?
This thing that you have to Google some kind of script that will actually make it do the thing that it's supposed to do for the... $6,000 or whatever you spent for it.
Hey, guess what? Uncle Leo, you know what the best thing about that little box is?
What?
You had the capability and the power to put some stamps on it at your business and send it back to Apple.
Oh, you're right. Thanks to stamps.com, our sponsor today. They're helping me pay for the eGPU. We're on monthly installments. I got it on the installment plan. Stamps.com is the way to save a trip to the post office. If you use the postal service, and who doesn't, right? Whether it's sending out brochures or invoices, or maybe you sell stuff on Amazon or Etsy or eBay, you're mailing stuff. Don't go to the post office. Do everything you could do at the post office. At your desk. I mean, I still go to the post office just to say hi because I like the mailman. But you can buy and print your own real U.S. postage from your computer and your printer with stamps.com. But it doesn't stop there. You get a USB scale so you always have exactly the right postage. It will suggest ways to save money on postage. It fills out the forms if you're sending internationally or you're sending certified. It even pulls in the addresses from your address book. Prints your own return address automatically, plus a company logo or an image if you want. You can print real stamps. You can print on an envelope. You can print a label of any kind. It'll even send out the email and all of that stuff. It's click, print, and mail, and you're done, and it just couldn't be easier. We're such huge fans of Stamps.com. Been using them for years, and we've got a very, very nice deal if you'd like to find out what Stamps.com can do for you. Go to Stamps.com. That's the website. Stamps.com. And use TWIT for the special offer. It includes $55 in free postage. It includes a digital scale. Use a 4-week trial. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, up in the right-hand corner, you'll see a microphone, radio microphone. Click that. Enter TWIT and get this amazing offer. I know you've heard me talk about it. You probably heard friends talk about it. It is now time for you to get stamps.com. Just don't forget to use the offer code TWIT for a really excellent offer. Thank you, Owen J.J. Stone, for that marvelous segue.
Hey, you could always return Apple products. When they get too hot,
put a stamp on it.
Got to put a stamp on it.
I don't know. Maybe I drank the Kool-Aid. You know me. I'm not, an Apple fanboy.
It's part of your job. I understand. And there's a thing called tax write-offs. And I mean, when I yell at you about spending this money, I understand. I'm looking at, again, I always repeat this to you, and one day we're going to set it up with the Owen Exchange Program.
I should just send you all this stuff.
Yeah. On ridiculous things. Yeah. That like somebody sent me one of these.
What's that?
Why didn't put me on that list?
You got a BlackBerry, you lucky dog. Look at that.
Get to the back. And so this right here, fresh from BlackBerry. This is that LG G7 ThinQ. This is a sexy phone. It's an iPhone wannabe.
It's pretty.
iPhone X. Yeah. But
it does have a notch.
It's got a fingerprint reader in the back. It does have a notch, but it's got a fingerprint reader in the back. It's got Google AI, so when I put it up to stuff, it tells me what it is, where it goes. I mean, doing innovative things like unlike Apple does. And this.
That's not innovative, sir. That is a BlackBerry.
Do you know what this is? This is the suffrage of my child for the next week. So they sent it to me to do.
You're
going to
make your kid review the new BlackBerry?
I am going to stick this with her for a week, maybe 10 days, and see if she can survive. See if it survived. I want to know how she feels inside after having this in her hand. She's never had a physical keyboard. She doesn't even know. She looked at this. She said, "What's that?" So giving this to her and finding out what she does with it, how she can do with it, I'm super excited to torture her with this device. It excites my soul and heart to make her suffer through the past.
You know, and use a keyboard. Next, you should give her a phone with a dial on it. I think that would be really good. This is the BlackBerry, what is it, the Key 2? Yeah. Or Key
2. There is something satisfying and gratifying about typing in with this keyboard, though. I will say that. I don't know if it's nostalgia, but it made me feel good inside, literally typing with
this thing. It's weird because it's the size of a normal phone, but they shrink the screen to put the keyboard on it.
It's still a pretty decent size screen. It's still...
Yes.
I got three phones right here. It's still pretty...
So like whatever you do...
It's on my iPhone.
Don't do what I did. I went out and bought a Huawei P20. That's the one with the really good three cameras and the Leica lens and all that stuff. And now I learn... that the DNC is saying, whatever you do, candidates, do not use a Huawei or ZTE phone, even if it's free. Even if they're giving it away, because they're owned by and founded by former members of the Chinese military. And the DNC is worried. You know, the GNC is already worried that the Russians are going to hack them. Now they sent out a notice after they learned that a Democratic organization was considering buying ZTE phones for staffers. They said, don't. Whatever you do, don't. Do you guys worry about Chinese phones spying on you?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Not one bit.
I do. I look at that P20 sitting on my dresser thinking, what's it sending back?
Everything you own. Okay.
That's the popcorn.
Okay.
As long as you have an internet connection, something is phone and home.
I know. Period. I mean, but I should trust Apple, right? They're not doing anything with that information they get from my iPhone, are they?
They said they're not, so you should trust them.
Oh, okay.
You can read, right? Look at the back of your phone right now and tell me what it says at the bottom of your phone. It says designed in California. Is it made in California?
No, it's made in China.
Is it built in California?
No, it's made in China.
Okay, then. So at the end of the day, everything you own
they're all Chinese phones.
I tell you what. Facebook is spying, okay? I'm talking to somebody about pillows, and by the time I get home, I got a list of pillows on my Facebook ads.
They be spying.
What are the odds? What are the odds? They're spying. Gotta be.
No.
Where's my full hat at? They spying.
Are you saying you're standing on the street just talking with a friend about a product, and you go home and you see ads for it? That's like when you buy a car, all of a sudden you see a lot of people driving that car. That's all.
Again, I might be feeling some sort of way. I might even be delusional. I'm just saying that it's happened in my mind, and where I'm crazy or not, I don't know. I just know there's been two or three times, one where I was talking about cats. I don't even like cats, and I got stuff for cats on my Facebook. Now, I understand it does it when I go to Amazon or I go click on something.
You know why? Because you held for 3 seconds longer. That's it. The Bader Meinhof phenomenon. You held for 3 seconds longer on Instagram. You were looking at a cat and you sent a signal to Facebook. He likes cats. That I believe they're doing. Totally believe that. Are you going to use the Facebook? Now, Ed and I are gainfully married, as are you, Amp. But Owen, I think you're single. Are you going to use the Facebook dating app? As Casey Newton writes in The Verge, let the poking begin.
unfortunately for me, the way I live my lifestyle on the internet, I'll explain it very quickly. I was talking to a girl. We're out on a date. She's like, oh, have you ever used Tinder? I'm like, no, I don't use Tinder. She's like, oh, don't lie. Everybody use Tinder. Checked out. I'm like, I don't. I was like, I could prove 100%. If I could prove to you that I don't use Tinder, then you got to pay for dinner. She said, okay, because you can't prove it. So I opened up Tinder, and Facebook thinks I'm 63 years old. And the lovely 70-plus-year-old women that were on my Tinder
were not. You got to set up your profile, dude.
It is set up to my profile. It uses my Facebook profile.
Oh.
I was born in 1949.
Oh, I see. You're lying to Facebook, and you're complaining about what Tinder does as a result? You got to tell the truth.
I'm a white male that lives in New York City by the name of Owan, born in 1949. I'm just saying, I don't use Tinder, and that's for that reason, because I'm not really fishing for 70-year-olds, but nothing against 70-year-olds.
Why do you lie to Facebook?
Because I don't trust the internet. I told you I got a full hat on. I don't trust it. I lie about every...
I bet you, though, here's the interesting thing. The day that people found out that Facebook was doing dating... The stock price of the Match Group, which owns Tinder and OkCupid, plunged 17%. This is going to everybody, you and I, and everybody who listens to this show probably is suspicious of Facebook. But the average person says, "Yay! It's about time Facebook did dating, right?"
But you've just described, we're going back to the beginning of the show now. You've just described the same phenomenon that happens to every business when there's even the slightest bit of news, slightest bit of rumor that Amazon's going to enter it. The stock price goes down 10%. And then over the course of the next 2 weeks, as everyone realizes, oh, wait a minute, this isn't, this is just normal capitalism at work. The stock price goes up, goes back where it was. The stock market is driven by all these insane, you want to talk about signals, the insane signals that go to market traders. This is exactly this kind of thing. How many times has Facebook launched a new product that has failed spectacularly? I mean, you could just do a big long list of all the things that they've done that have failed. Given their reputation, I would be shocked if a Facebook dating app turned out to be successful in less than, maybe in version 6.0 after 5 years, they might be able to get it right. But they don't have a good track record with this kind of stuff.
What? But on
Ed is on the nose. On the nose, Ed.
Go ahead, Ed. I don't like the idea of it. I think it's a... logical step for Facebook to take as far as trying to get into the dating world and what have you. But I don't like the security aspect of it because there's already enough issues with Facebook and privacy and security on there right now. And now you're making people even more vulnerable by giving them an avenue to, quote unquote, date someone. And you never know what's going to happen.
And Facebook already has a personal track record of being the worst matchmaking site on the Facebook. You know how many lives that Facebook has ruined from Susie and Earl getting back together because they used to hook up in the sixth grade?
That's really
and
true.
Earl's got six kids.
That's really
and his
true.
Wife, and he thinks that Susie's love is real love, and he leaves his wife and his kids, and then finds out that Susie is now a man. Things are crazy on Facebook.
How many relationships do you think Facebook has created? How many has it broken up?
Broken up twice as many as it's created.
Twice as many. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
That sounds, I'll go with that. Yeah. Maybe 80-20.
You know? There you go.
You guys are cynics. How about this? Apple's going to do, in iOS 12 late next month, is going to start warning you when you use your phone or individual apps too much. Apparently, Android P, which is about to come out in a couple of weeks, won't do it right away, but we'll do it eventually. Now Facebook and Instagram are adding dashboards to help you manage your time on their apps. This seems to be all the rage in Silicon Valley. How long
before... I give them credit for that. I like that idea.
I have to say, I tried it on iOS 12 and I turned it off because it was annoying. Well, every time I tried to launch Instagram in the middle of the night, because I couldn't sleep, it said, you really should be. God, it's nagging you. You should really be asleep. Like, don't, Leo.
Take you behind the bed, Mr. LaPorte. Come on.
I can't sleep. What do you want me to do? Stare at the ceiling?
I'm sorry, Leo.
What?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Leo. You've looked at YouTube way too much. You should stop now.
Shameless plug. I just started a new podcast called Raising a Ninja. And the first episode, the intro episode, is talking about devices and my daughter. And my daughter is 11 years old. She's had a phone since she was 4. She can regulate and control herself and has an extreme amount of resilience when it comes to doing things too often. You know why? Because I spend time with her. I talk to her. I show her how to use the devices and the apps and the games. And she doesn't have an addiction. When she gets in trouble, I take her phone 2 or 3 days. She doesn't even ask for the phone back. She's not addicted to it because we've set these things in line to keep under control. People know me. I don't be tweeting all the time. I don't even do my podcast all the time like I'm supposed to. Because sometimes I got to coach my kids, spend my time, live the life. The last thing I need is this phone wasting my battery, telling me that I'm wasting my battery looking at Instagram. I'm looking at Instagram because I've been in the bathroom for an hour and a half, and I need to keep scrolling. I don't need you to tell me how long I've been in the bathroom, okay? I don't need you to tell me how long I've been watching a podcast, listening to a show, watching Uncle Leo on Twitter. Keep this junk off my phone, wasting my battery. Well,
it doesn't hurt to have it, does it?
You don't need that, but there's so many people that are addicted to it.
I think
they could benefit from
it. I think he's lucky that his daughter is sensible, but there's lots of kids you could do all the same parenting, and they'd be spending all their time playing Fortnite.
Yes. And I can remember a time telling an alcoholic, hey, you shouldn't have another drink.
That worked.
Smoking weed, you shouldn't smoke any more weed. Those cigarettes are bad for you. Yeah, you know you shouldn't smoke them.
Yeah.
Like, let me run off the list of addictions that people listen to because their phone gave them a charm every 5 seconds saying, bling, you've been on here too long. That's ridiculous. It's dumb. And unless it's for kids, it's not going to work. Uncle Leo just told you. He's sitting there with his facial recognition. Got the light all bright in his face in the middle of the night.
I can't get it to recognize me. It won't recognize me, and so I have to...
Who apple gums like that? Yeah, so go ahead and listen to the little
That's why you need to grow a beard, Leo.
grow a beard, it would recognize me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, you could make the case, you're right, Owen, that actually the reason Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google, and Apple all are doing this is because it makes them look good, and they know perfectly well it's not going to reduce usage at all.
Business model, every single one of those businesses have a business model that is based on provoking engagement,
right,
provoking reactions, escalating engagement and reactions from people. That's where the money comes from.
Right.
And so the idea that they're somehow going to stop you from doing that thing makes no economic sense whatsoever.
So what about France?
I love it. They have wonderful wines.
French school children
really fast.
French school children up to the age of 15 will have to leave their smartphone switched off or at home. This is a national law. It was a campaign promise by President Macron, and it's now a reality in France. The schools could make exceptions for pedagogical use, extracurricular activities, or disabled pupils. But for the most part, kids will not be able to bring smartphones to class. Now, that seems like a good idea.
I dig it.
So in my district, in different schools are different. All the way up until middle school, even if you have a phone on you, you're not allowed to have it on in your classroom. It has to be
away. Yeah, they'll take it, right? If it rings, it's gone.
Yeah. Yes, that. If it rings, it's gone. Once you get into sixth grade, they use their phones or they give the kids tablets for as their calculator. They run apps on them for the classes and things of that nature. So the way our setup is, instead of using Chromebooks, we use tablets. So it's the same thing. The kids are using iMessage to talk to each other in class or whatever they're doing. So taking it away is great and all, but we live in America. This is not France. My daughter has an Apple Watch on her, and her teacher has been instructed that no matter what, she's not allowed to take this from her because in case of a school shooting, my daughter can hit the SOS button and call me and call the police and let me know. So she has to have that device on her 24/7, 365, and I feel like taking phones away from kids in America is not a good thing because we have other things to worry about besides kids playing Fortnite in the middle of class. And if that's up to the teacher to handle their business and make sure that the kids aren't on their phones, because if the teacher's paying attention to the kids got to be paying attention to the teacher. It's really simple.
Okay, that's fair. I never even thought about it that way. But considering how bad things have gotten in the schools here in this country, that makes total sense.
It's interesting because the argument in France exactly parallels our argument here. The opponents, Macron's opponents, say this is purely cosmetic. It's not going to change behavior. It makes people feel good, but kids are still going to use phones. So having a law is it's for show. Kind of what we were just talking about.
And it's easier to control in France because it's a small place.
It's not that small.
And compared to the United States of America.
Not that a Congress is able to pass anything, but would you think we'd ever be able to get a law like that in the U.S.? I don't think so.
We can't get a blanket. I don't know if there's one blanket law besides don't kill somebody that we have in this country.
That's a good point.
Different states, yeah, different strokes, different folks. Yeah. So I don't,
even in Florida, you've got the standard.
You could kill somebody. Law, yeah. You
know? So, yeah.
So, there you go. You know. America.
All right.
You're going to get some emails this week.
Oh, man. I know. I'm just, what are you going to do?
It always happens when I'm on. No, it's a horrible situation. I apologize.
No, we love you, Owen. It's okay.
I know why you love me.
Did you just take a shot of whiskey, Aunt Pruitt, or is that medicinal? Aunt's got the important staples: popcorn, and brown liquor.
I'm podcasting, whenever I'm editing photos or video, I always have music and or a good old dram of scotch.
I thought I saw that. Now that's good. That explains your smooth voice. How nice, because it's just lubricated. I should try that.
It's just how I roll.
That's nice.
It's comforting.
That's nice. Popcorn and brown liquor. Our show title today. Actually, yes. I was thinking of making it the title of this blog post by Nick Heerer on his Pixel Envy blog, but then I realized it's not polite. He calls it, you could show it, I guess, the BS web. And he actually raises some really good points. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Before we go on, let me play. Look, this would be a good time to play our house. Dvorak always called our house ad, our promo for the week on Twit. And then we'll come back with more from our esteemed panel. If you missed anything this week, you missed some good stuff. Watch.
Previously on Twit.
We have to continue the tradition here, so I guess I'll just ask you, Alex, can you tell us the just main topic of the show for today?
I don't really remember, but what do you think it is?
I think it was networking.
Father Robert!
Networking. We think it's networking.
Fantastic. It's great to see Padre there.
This Week in Law.
If you are traveling to Egypt, do not complain about your experiences there on social media in any way, shape, or form. A woman vacationed tourism in Egypt and didn't have a very good time. And she complained she was subjected to sexual harassment. She complained about various aspects of the country. Government officials ultimately finding her guilty of deliberately spreading false rumors that would harm society. She has been sentenced to 8 years in prison.
Do we need to be considering everything we post now on social media and what effects it might have if we were to leave the country and go to some other country?
All about Android.
So this is a Lenovo Smart Display, and it is the first Google Assistant with display device. There's plenty more coming out this summer. This is just kind of the first wave.
Yeah, this bamboo back really makes me want to, etch something into it.
Please don't do that. Burke. What is happening?
Oh, wow. Burke has wow. come through.
Well, you asked Burke for a knife. Of course he's going to come through. What are you doing?
No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that.
You shoot that joke really far, Jason.
I'm happy I'm not in the studio with my hardware this week.
This is your brain. This is your brain on Twit. Any questions?
We actually got a little bit of time with that new Lenovo Google Assistant. And I was a little disappointed, and we're going to have to do more reviewing. Jason's going to have a review for us. We showed it off on the new screensavers yesterday. It doesn't seem to have all the capabilities of a Google Home device. It won't do some of the things that you could do with the Google Home, which really disappoints me because it's kind of awesome. It's a 8 or 10-inch screen that could be used as a TV. You could watch Netflix on and Amazon Prime, except none of that worked.
I want it really bad.
Yeah. But don't get it.
I'm hoping for updates. Well, I'm going to get it from you, like we discussed.
Oh, I'll just hand it down.
There'll be an update. There'll be an update. Don't worry about
it's
it. Not,
it's $249 for the 10-inch. That's the one I would get because it's like a kitchen. It's like a TV. Yeah. And then you can do all the other stuff, the Google stuff.
I've been waiting for a Google Home with a screen on it, so I need it in my life. I've converted over to the Google, and she is my friend.
Yeah. I just assumed that Lenovo would use the same exact software, I don't know if they're doing their own servers or what, but it's not the same as very much like the Fire Cube doesn't do all of Amazon's Echo stuff, which is also weird to me.
Which is very silly.
Yeah, it's from Amazon. I don't
know, and it's a more powerful box. I don't get that at all. That makes no sense to me.
Well, it's good for reviewers because it means we need to help people make the right buying decisions. These things are not obvious. Companies are not telling you what they're doing.
Yeah.
Our show today brought to you by LastPass. Yes, I know you use, right? Everybody uses LastPass. You ought to. It is the password vault that means you're more secure because you're using strong passwords. You don't have to remember them. It generates them for you. It securely stores all the information. I use LastPass to keep my driver's license, my social security, all our corporate information. I mean, it is really secure storage for everything, especially passwords. But have you thought about LastPass in your business? If this was something I was just blind to, remember, when you're using passwords in business, and you are, you're giving employees access to, I don't know, your QuickBooks, your bank account, your website, your storage, all the stuff they have access to. And that really can be a problem. I've learned my lesson. I just kind of said, that's fine, whatever. I learned my lesson when one of our engineers put all our passwords up on a public website because he couldn't remember them.
Oops.
Oops. That's when we went to LastPass Enterprise. But the nice thing is when you're using LastPass in business, you can completely control it. You have over 100 policies. You can get security reports. Your passwords are protected. You can share your QuickBooks passwords with the people who need access to it only. And you can even share it in a way that not only can they not change it, they can't even see it. So they log into the site, but they don't know what the password is. That's the kind of thing you need. It makes them generate strong passwords. One of the policies that we enforce is two-factor authentication. It protects the most important stuff in our business. Even if credentials end up being compromised through phishing attacks, because we use two-factor, we require two-factor, outsiders don't have access to our stuff. Employees can log into LastPass now with their Microsoft Active Directory. So if you've got AD and you've got credentials, then they really literally only have to remember one password, their AD password, and they're in. We offer it as a benefit to our employees, a personal version of LastPass. And one of the nice things about LastPass Enterprise, one login gives you access both to your enterprise account and to a completely separate, completely encrypted, separately personal account, so you don't have to have two versions of LastPass running all the time. I really like that. LastPass for individuals is LastPass Premium. LastPass Families for the entire family. I love the sharing capability, both at home and at work. You know, the engineering department can share all their passwords, but nobody else at work has access to them. And LastPass Teams, if you have a small business for teams of 50 or fewer, we use the LastPass Enterprise. It's awesome. We're so happy we have it. And when you realize that 81% of all breaches come from weak passwords or reused passwords, you realize how important this is. Protect your business with LastPass. It celebrated its 10th anniversary in July. Happy anniversary, LastPass. I've been using it practically that long. I know we got Steve Gibson using it about 6 years ago when he interviewed the founder of LastPass, Joe Sigrist, and he was able to look at the code and he said, yeah, this is the right thing. This is the right way to do it. LastPass.com/twit. More than 13 million people trust LastPass. It's the number one most preferred password manager. And now use it in business too. LastPass.com/twit. I loved this article by Nick here just because I couldn't agree more. He calls it the BS web. But what he's talking about is as our internet connections have sped up, access to websites has slowed down because there's so much junk. He says the average internet connection on the United States is about 6 times as fast as it was 10 years ago. But instead of making it faster to browse, we're simply occupying that extra bandwidth with more junk. In 2006, partly it's watching movies. Apple added movies to iTunes Store. But really, the real problem is, well, here's an example. The CNN article, which took 20 seconds to load. 11 web fonts totaling 414 kilobytes. 4 style sheets, 315 kilobytes. This is one page, 20 frames, 29 XML HTTP requests totaling 500 kilobits, 100 scripts, several megabytes worth, and it and on and on and on. And we've all noticed this. It is.
It's all about revenue stream, sir.
Oh, it's so sad. And Ed Bott, I know you remember this. As we got more bandwidth, faster processors, more RAM, it just meant programs bloated up, right?
Right, right. It's the paradox of Moore's Law, and this is sort of the cousin of the Moore's Law paradox, with an evil twin hanging around there.
I guess we all agree. It's not like there's any controversy here. It's not like also there's anything you didn't know here. But I do like the idea, and maybe there's something to be said for, you know, bring this to people's attention and trying to slim it down. There was Google Amp. He says that didn't do anything.
But here, but we're back to the an analog of the same thing we were talking about 15 minutes ago. You know, the economic model of the web, for better or worse, mostly worse, is based on the idea that everything has to be free, and for everything to be free, you know, it costs a lot of money to have these people writing these things. Those servers cost money. All that stuff costs a lot of money, and yet everyone wants them for free. Yep. So pages are cluttered up with terrible, ugly, stupid ads, and tracking pixels and things that are just building dossiers on us that have the potential to ruin our lives, and there's no end in sight to it. And so now it's become an arms war between the people building the crappy ads and surveillance systems and us. And I know in the essay he mentions, you know, the rise in ad blockers now. Well, now the next level of the arms race is ad blocker blockers.
Yep.
So and so you go to a site and hi, I see you're using an ad blocker. Would you like to whitelist us? And now you know, you can either, I like the ones that say, you know, no, I don't, you know, I'm just going to continue using my ad blocker. But others, but then there's the others that say, no, we're gonna block you right back. You can't come through. And those are the ones that, you know, I'll pay to get this crap off there. Those especially the Taboola, Outbrain.
Oh God, that stuff's horrible.
Rev content. Yeah. That, you know, that stuff is, I mean, that's the garbage that, and it's, you know, and you're just having that stuff thrown in your face every page that you visit. It's exhausting.
I call BS on that stat of 20 seconds to load CNN. I just loaded it on Chrome, Outlook, Firefox, my iPhone, my Lenovo, my LG. It took like 5 seconds on all of them. They have a text version too for the site. I mean, what kind of network connection were they using? It took 20 seconds to load the page. I haven't had that problem or that issue. Maybe it's the youth of my internet. I haven't had any functionality problems over on my end.
Do you run an ad blocker though?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. The only thing that I run, which I cannot run when I do the show, is my proxy to lock me up and make it look like I'm in Brazil or something.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to turn mine off.
I told you. I'm a white guy in New York. You think my internet ain't disguising my nationality and ethnicity?
So, wait, okay. Is it a VPN or just a proxy?
Yes. It's a VPN and a proxy. I'm running my own kind of.
All the time? You run that all the time?
Unless I'm on with you, because it won't let me chat with the people, and I'm a man of the people, so I got to turn it off when I'm on Twitter.
That's interesting. Huh.
I totally get the having to have the ads and things like that on the site, you know,
we got to monetize
contributor Tech Republic right there. Yeah. And I can invoice Tech Republic for a reason. They can pay me for it. And I know they got to get their money somewhere to pay me. And that's one way to do it. It's you got to have those ads.
You know, what's going to fix everything. Blockchain.
People still don't know what blockchain
is. Nobody knows. That's why it's so popular, because it's a techie sounding thing, and it's got to be great because I don't understand it. Actually, here's an article that comes from a Bloomberg. I'm reading it from the LA Times because I can't use Bloomberg because I've used up my free articles. But the LA Times apparently doesn't have a paywall. According to Forrester Research, the number of sites claiming the use of blockchain is going to be is a lot lower this year. That fewer and fewer people are talking about blockchain. That there was a lot of hype. Only 1% of chief information officers are planning any kind of blockchain adoption. Nearly 80% of CIOs said they have no interest in blockchain.
So, Leo, I changed my Twitter bio about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I said, tech journalist now with added blockchain. It's just
And did your stock price go up 45%?
What's 45% more than zero?
We were talking about.
Let me just finish that thought. I now get so many PR pitches.
Oh, no.
Blockchain people. I got invited last week. They said, we want you to come to a blockchain conference in Hyderabad, India. We'll pay your way.
What?
Put blockchain in my bio. I
want to go to Hyderabad. I don't even know where it is, but I want to go.
India, and you do not want to go to India in August.
No.
You are 100% right about that.
It makes New York in August look like a spa vacation. So I said no to them. But seriously, I just added the word blockchain to my Twitter bio. Nothing else, and I am on so many PR lists now, and I got one the other day that I shared it on my Twitter feed because it was so funny. It says, will the next Super Mario Brothers Rainbow Bright be enabled by the blockchain?
Makes no sense whatsoever.
Exactly. I put that up on my Twitter.
Wait, somebody sent you that as a pitch, a PR pitch?
As a PR pitch. Wow. I kid you not. And I should have kept reading so I could figure out what in God's name they were talking about. But I don't think so.
You just couldn't do it. Yeah.
Plunk.
they were talking about people. This was in the promo earlier in Egypt. Tourists getting in trouble for tweeting negative comments, ending up with jail, 8 years of jail time. There is a trend, I think, now to delete your Twitter history. James Gunn, of course, the director of the first two episodes of Guardians of the Galaxy, fired for inappropriate jokes he made in the early days of Twitter when it wasn't unusual to see inappropriate jokes. His cast is standing up for him, saying, that's not the guy we know.
Glenn Greenwald just deleted his entire Twitter history, everything before 2016 he deleted.
Well, I have a friend who's very well known in Hollywood, and he sent me an email saying, what's the best way to delete my Twitter history? It's sad because people are very afraid that they said something 6, 8, 10 years ago and that it can come back to haunt them.
It's not that sad. First of all, I can't deal with the gun thing and the protection of them because I don't play around with kid jokes. I don't find it amusing on any level. You're a 40-year-old man
there were more than one or two or three or five or six tweets on that subject and that topic. So I have
it was
no
a little
sympathy.
Creepy. I agree with you.
I have no sympathy.
But there's no context for Twitter 2008 or whatever it was.
There's context for a 40-year-old man speaking in a public forum out to the world. That's okay. My context of that situation. Okay. Other people were making jokes and different things, and I get it. You know, I trust you me, I get on here and I try to bring levity to technology and I make all kinds of jokes and I goof off all the time. So as a person like that, I get it. I don't want to see comedy go away. I don't want to see the white comic get roasted for making a black joke. I don't want to see the black comic get roasted for making an Asian joke. They're comics. I get jokes and I get making fun of ourselves as a people in a class. If you want to delete your old tweets just to be safe, I don't feel like it's a sad thing because people say dumb things and really who cares what you said 8 years ago because all you end up doing is sounding like Donald Trump. I like pancakes, man. I hate pancakes. Like, so if you delete it, it's fine. Go ahead and do what you got to do. But it's not something I feel sad over. It's something that if you feel that you need to delete it and you should and you feel some sort of way about the things that you said and you're not that person, if you're not that person, then go ahead and delete your old tweets. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's hard to
find
the line.
Aren't you tempted to go back through your old tweets just to make sure?
Or no. I said outlandish stuff today.
You stand by your tweets.
I said outlandish stuff 3 weeks ago. There was a guy making an argument with me. And then first thing he went and tweeted was, Uncle Leo, how could you have someone like this on your show? And I'm like, well, he said something about my daughter, and I ripped him apart for it. You can't talk about my
child. It's risky, though. Look at Sarah Jong. Look at Sarah Jong. She's recently put on the New York Times editorial board. And, of course, the first thing that happened is people went through her Twitter feed. And she had been harassed for a long time for being an outspoken progressive feminist on Twitter. And her choice in fighting that was trolling the trolls back, which, like hashtag cancel white people. And there was a huge amount of backlash around that. Now, the New York Times, to their credit, has stood up for, but still.
I want to stop you right there, Leo. There was not a huge amount of pushback on that. There was an orchestrated campaign from a bunch of professional right-wing trolls, Mike Cernovich and his gang, who do this stuff for a living. And
well, that's what happened to James Gunn, too, right?
Right. Well, it is. And at least in his case, they were able to find things that were they were truly difficult to defend. I went through and read the Cernovich gang's things from that they pulled up on Sarah Jong. In fact, the day she was announced as being named to the editorial board of the New York Times, I tweeted like 5 minutes after that press release came out. I said, ladies and gentlemen, you watch. 24 hours from now, Mike Cernovich is going to have an orchestrated attack on Sarah Jong using her old tweets.
Yeah.
Because I followed her Twitter account.
You knew for
6 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And I also went back and looked at a lot of the things that they were quoting, and they were literally completely out of context.
Right.
You know, there's things that I can't say. There's one NWA song that she loved to quote, just quote the title of that NWA song as an ironic shutdown for any discussion of people in positions of authority.
But you remove that tweet from its context, it looks bad.
No, it doesn't look bad.
Well, you understand it's an NWA lyric.
Also, I want to say that as humans, we also are doing a much better job. That one baseball player who is 26 years old had tweets when he was like 15, 17, saying the N-word and stuff like that. And he gave a very basic example. Hey, I grew up in a backwater town. That's how people talked about things. Now that I'm in the league and I've gotten to meet other people of other cultures, other faiths, I realized that what I was doing was wrong. And I can believe his statement of saying, hey, my upbringing had me talking reckless and saying stuff like that. But my professional life and where I've lived now has had me learn and grow. And my teammates support me in that. So that a couple of players had that issue. And again, teammates come out and support them. So depending
redemption
on what it is.
Is a good thing.
Yeah. Yes. Redemption depending on what it is. People do understand what's going on. I just can't get behind the gun thing because I don't mess with kids at all. It's like going to jail. The things they don't mess with. You don't mess with nobody's mom. You don't mess with kids.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put out a blanket tweet here soon and say, you know what? I've said some pretty dumb in the
past.
We
all have.
I have.
Twitter let itself to I'm lends fine with it. Itself let it go. To that.
I'm just lucky I could say the N-word anytime I want. Nobody, I don't have to worry about all them old tweets.
You're saying none of you would even consider deleting old tweets.
No, I'm not deleting anything. I've said it, and own up to it.
It probably doesn't work anyway because, you know, people can save them and screenshot them. And,
well, they can, but there is no archive of Twitter, and that's a really interesting thing.
Library of Congress has the archive.
No, they don't. They announced that they were going to do that in 2010, and then it never happened.
Oh, interesting.
So, oh, what? Let's just delete our tweets every year and then call it a wrap. I can start talking real reckless now.
There are a fair number of people who do exactly that. They do it every quarter, even. And if you want to do that, if you don't want to have people, just writing, just posting garbage about you, calling you a hypocrite because you said something 2 years ago and now your attitude has changed on it, you can avoid that being a thing if you're famous enough to be the target of something like that. But there is no archive right there. So the only...
That's interesting. I did not
know
that.
The only way that somebody can find those things is there are random numbers of them that were screen kept by people at the time. So right. You might be able to find those. But if you, there is no Twitter archive. If you delete your tweets, the likelihood is that most of the things that you said will never come back to haunt you.
Somebody on this show once said, I wish I could remember who it was. For all I know, it's you, Owen. The problem with Twitter is that it's the kind of thing you'd say around the water cooler, but because it's in print, it's preserved as if it was a essay and treated as if you thoughtfully crafted that tweet. True. When it might well just be something you said off, you were half in the can.
That's the biggest thing I hate about Twitter in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in Twitter, it's just so quick. You know how many typos I have when I just tweet things because I'm just like off the top. I spelled
is it getting
my name wrong?
Worse?
Oh, man, I can't edit that.
Is it getting worse because the president himself is willing to use Twitter in that kind of half-baked way? I mean, he tweeted basically a racist tweet yesterday about LeBron James and Don Lemon.
A racist tweet?
Many, but this was the most recent.
So let me tell you about that. That's a perfect example of what I'm saying about people changing their minds. So this is a girl... No, this is a guy at a club talking to a hot girl and she's not responding. Hey, you're pretty. Let me buy you a drink. You want to hang out? And she says, no thanks, and leaves. And then you get mad and start writing her number on the wall and calling her all kinds of names.
It's like
he tweeted LeBron James. I love his work ethic. They're down in Miami about to win the championship. He won the ESPY Awards. He's a great man and deserves it.
LeBron never
responded to him at all. LeBron says one thing when he asked a question. He said, look, he's trying to divide us. And he's like, oh, LeBron James is the worst person in the world. He never did anything for anybody. Like, you sound like such a scorn lover. This dude is so weak and pathetic, regardless of your political views. He's just mentally weak.
By the way,
because
for legal reasons, the one person who can't delete his tweet history is Donald Trump.
Oh. That's right.
It's all public record.
Well, they're presidential the
communications. Public
records act.
Yeah, it's public.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. So it's fun when people dig that stuff up. But
you can delete your tweet, but he can't delete his.
I just block people. I say crazy stuff, and I'm like, block. Ha ha. Go steal. Go deal with the pain and the suffering. My tweet. Nah, I blocked you. No matter what you say back to me, I can't hear it. That's usually my thing for trolls when they get out of hand.
Hey, have you? Go ahead.
My problem is actually the exact opposite of what most people have. When I started on Twitter, I was very conscious of being, a well-known tech journalist, and I wanted to be careful. I didn't want to be overtly political. I wanted to avoid using profanity. Those who follow me now are laughing. But for the first 3 or 4 years, I was very careful and controlled, and almost I was almost my own PR shop. And then I think at one point as you know, I think I asked my followers, it probably had, you know, 10,000 followers at that time. And I said something like, you know, who out there would be offended if I, you know, if I dropped an F-bomb here? And one or two people said, you know, we'd really prefer that you didn't. And most people said, you know, it sounds like you've got a couple of saved up. So, you know, I think I'm much more authentic now. And, you know, what you see is what you get. And yet also, I really don't say anything that I'm not going to feel that I can stand behind next week, right, next month, next year. And if I make a mistake, if I do something where I have inadvertently wronged somebody by misquoting them or something, I'll call myself on it. You know, I'll correct myself. I'll apologize. I had an interaction with John Dickerson of CBS News where I said something snarky about him. He responded to me. We had this delightful interaction and I wound up apologizing to him for the snarky thing that I said and, you know, and amplifying a couple of the things that he had said that I thought were worth repeating. And, you know, that's what happens if you're authentic and you're not trying to play a role and just be outrageous for outrageousness' sake.
Right.
Ed, I will say this to you, since this is the first time we met, and I'll say it to your face not to be snarky on the internet. You have the most trolling internet technology name I've ever seen. I wouldn't trust anything you said.
He is actually a bot.
You got Ed Bot on your name. I'm not listening to nothing Ed Bot got to say. Ed Bot got 50,000.
They're always talking about you, Ed. We got to get these bots off the internet.
Yeah. You got a bad internet name, Ed. They got you on that one.
One T makes all the difference, man.
The AI is getting smart, Ed. That's all that tells me. AI, two T's.
I would check your email from some job offers from the Internet Research Agency. I think you might have something going there. We need there bots. We need more bots. Let's get this Ed guy. He's a bot. So, Ed, you wrote a good review of the cutest computer I've ever seen. And yep. And I just got mine on Friday. It's the Surface Go. This is tiny. It's a 10-inch Surface Windows machine. Hey. It sells with Windows S10S on it, but you can instantly turn on Windows 10 Home, which I did.
Yeah, that should be the number one thing that everyone does. Good Lord. It's just...
Well, fortunately, you don't even have to reboot it. You just download something from the store, and all of a sudden, you've got Windows 10 Home, and you can now put Chrome on it and other things. I haven't had it as long as you have. There are two questions I had that I haven't yet really come up with an answer for is... battery life and speed. This is a weird processor from Intel, the Pentium Gold. What do you think?
So, and I had this discussion with a couple people on Twitter just last week, as a matter of fact.
Well, how about that?
Imagine that. If you understand the purpose of this device, this is a general purpose productivity and casual entertainment device, which is the way that I used it and the way that I evaluated it. So running Office 365 apps, no problem. Fast, zippy,
sponsored. Actually, because it's the size of the screen, is it using the touch first Office? Is it using the tablet version?
Oh, no. No, this is a full PC.
Okay.
This is an honest to God, real copy of Windows running a 64-bit Windows.
But if you didn't, so you and I both have Office 365 subscriptions. It recognized mine and immediately loaded Office. But if we didn't, would I be using the free version of Office on there?
Well, you wouldn't have any version of
Office. None at all. Okay. Because there was, I remember Microsoft said if it's a screen size 10 inches or under,
they're. Those were, you know, for tablets. You can't. It's almost impossible to actually find those apps in the store if you're on something that it thinks is a PC.
Okay. And I also noted it's not in tablet mode, and even if you detach the keyboard, it stays in desktop mode unless you explicitly put it in tablet mode. They're treating this like a computer.
It is a computer. And so what's interesting about it, well, just the other thing about the performance of it. If you try to play Fortnite, on it. If, or, you know, or whatever, right. You know, some game that demands a high frame rate, you're going to be very disappointed.
You know what? You need an eGPU.
That's right.
It weighs 10 times more than the computer.
That computer's so light, it might even make it worth it traveling around with it, unlike your MacBook Pro.
If you try to run Photoshop on it, it will, it'll work. You'll be able to get it done.
Yeah.
But you couldn't. You'll be able to do things that you couldn't do on an iPad. And that, to me, is ultimately the pitch for this device.
This is an iPad, but it's running a desktop operating, a real operating system.
Right. It is. When I set this up on my desk and then I put an iPad alongside of it with one of those Logitech keyboards on it, they're almost exactly the same size.
Yep.
The aspect ratios are a little bit different. So this is a device for the person who has been saying, you know, my laptop is too heavy to drag around with me. It's 3 or 4 pounds. It hurts when I carry it through the airport. I just don't want to have that with me. And so they're bringing the little external keyboard for the iPad, and they're doing whatever their work is on that. This is the same thing, except it does full PC workloads. And
so
what
this
it
is
does,
essentially so, a step up from Chromebook?
In a way, to me, what's fascinating about this is I have a messenger bag that I normally would use if I'm going to a trade show in Europe next month. And normally I would carry a messenger bag with a 3 pound notebook in it and then the charger and a bunch of other stuff that goes with that. And by the end of the day, my shoulder hurts. I have a small bag, you know, your basic man bag. This thing actually fits in that. And I can carry this to the show with me. And in fact, I can snap the keyboard off and use the pen with it and take handwritten notes in OneNote when I'm at a press conference or something, which is something that I couldn't do before.
Yeah.
You know, I could do that with an iPad with the Magic Pencil. But then if I go back, you know, our CMS at ZDNet isn't exactly friendly to an iPad. You need to, you know, you need to have a Mac or a PC to really, you know, take advantage of all the features. And so this is actually that one device that I could carry that would, you know, it'll be a tablet. I can download Netflix movies onto it. It runs Spotify and it runs iTunes. But it also runs the full Office 365, and it has a full web browser in it. I can run Google Chrome, Firefox, Microsoft Edge, whatever
you want. All of this if you turn off the S mode, obviously.
All of those things, which I say everyone should do.
There's no reason not to. Is there any reason not to?
If I were giving this to an extremely non-technical relative.
Okay.
Who has a history
of downloading trouble. Crap
of having me have to come over and clean up their machine for whatever reason they got infected with something, then yes, I would.
Because the S mode means you can only install apps from the Microsoft Store, which keeps you safe because you're not downloading weird, crappy stuff.
And you can download now iTunes and Spotify and Slack and a few other things.
Okay.
Those are all available from the store.
Chrome is the big one that's not.
It's not, and it never will be.
Right, right.
And that's the.
What's battery life for you? I haven't had it long enough to know.
For normal productivity use, 5 to 7 hours.
That's fine.
Adequate. And for watching videos like on a transatlantic plane flight, 7 to 8 hours.
That's good.
And of course, on most planes these days, you've got there's a plug there.
Right.
You can recharge.
It does charge through the Type-C port, which is for the first surface that doesn't require that goofy surface charging connector. And that's huge.
Second, the Surface Book 2 also has that. But it has the Surface Connect.
It does.
Yes. And the charger, let me see if I have.
It's nice. It's light. I don't know why you'd use it because you have everybody. I have Type-C everywhere. What do I need that for?
Well,
You know what, it bothers me because it looks just like an SD card slot. So it's a little disappointing. So Scoot's got two ways to charge it. Okay.
So the other, and also the Type-C dock, and I've used it for a docking station.
Right.
So you can do external monitor.
Right. I have the Surface dock, which does use that Surface connector. So that is one reason why
you can use like a Type-C dock. $50 right. Type-C docks that you get at Amazon for that. Now there's two variations of the Surface Go. And I have the more expensive
as
one.
As do I. Yeah, because I wasn't going to get 64 gigs of storage, and gigs of RAM is a non-starter.
And it's not just. Well, I think for some people it would be. It's 64 gigs of eMMC storage as opposed
really
to
slow.
An SSD.
Right.
So that one's going to be slow. But again, for somebody, you know, I would see this, and I wrote the headline on the articles. You know, the best cheap PC ever. And that's, you know, we could have a debate over that. But I would argue that this is an excellent replacement for somebody who has this, 7 or 8 year old PC that originally came with Windows Vista, and it is just dog slow. Ugh, but they keep it. They keep it in the den because that's how you have to occasionally do something on a PC. And I would say this is a great replacement for something like that. Even at the low spec version that's $499, even though we as tech experts would be horrified at having to wait an extra half a second for a program to load. Somebody whose experience is with a 7 or 8 year old PC, it will be a major upgrade for them.
Yeah.
Seems like it would be a good device for writers in general, that, you know, people that are on the go writers, because you don't have to have a lot of horsepower to run a text editor, if you will.
The drawback is it's a tiny screen and a tiny keyboard. Ed, were you able to write extensive passages with it?
Yeah. Now it helps that I'm
you're actually only 4'3".
If Mavis Beacon ever saw me type,
hunt and pecker, huh?
Oh man, I'm an old school sports writer type. I use all 10 fingers.
Yeah,
but
just like me.
But it's an unorthodox style. I do know Microsoft claims that they did a lot of testing in their labs with people on this, and they say that a good touch typist within about a week can get to about 97% of their normal rate.
That's pretty good.
I didn't find it difficult. I didn't find it any more. It's exactly the same size as one of those iPad keyboards.
Right.
So if you can get used to one of those, you could get used to this.
That's who this is aimed at. It's the same.
It's a 10-inch screen. That's a good size.
Yeah, it's the same size. It's no accident. It's the same price. It's clearly aimed at that group. Although, the other thing is, it's dang cute. And I got it looks like you got the burgundy cover too. I got the burgundy pen, the burgundy cover, and I even bought the burgundy mouse, which is completely superfluous because it actually has a pretty good trackpad.
It's nice to have a mouse. That's just a stock photo on the image there. I have the platinum cover and the platinum.
Nice.
The platinum mouse. But yeah, it's very cute. It has the same build quality as the other Surface units, and so it has this really great, solid, well-built feel to it. And that's that, you know. And I hope that one of the things that this does is that it takes the PC OEMs who have been cranking out really mediocre $499 and $399 PCs, and it helps them up their game. I think that the original Surface, that's kind of what it did.
Yep.
You know, you watched Lenovo, you watched HP, you watched Dell. You compare, look at their PCs from 2012 when the first Surface came out, and then 2015 when the first good Surface came out, the Surface Pro 3. And you look at the evolution of the PC market since then, and I think they have improved dramatically just by in many cases with some of the manufacturers, just by copying features that Microsoft came out with on the Surface.
I have to say that is one thing that you really notice when you're faced, and I still prefer macOS, but when you're faced with the very limited choice you get in the Apple world and the amazing heterogeneity of the PC world, you really, there's nothing you can't get in some form or fashion running Windows.
Heterogeneity. Sounds there like a go. Smart guy like you could help me get a mortgage for my house. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, doctor.
Smart guy like you with that vocabulary.
I just happen to be holding in my hands the exact thing you need, my friend.
Sounds like somebody you could help. You can help me. Sales is a skill. I'm on the lower end of it, though.
Aunt, can you pass the popcorn, please?
Yes, yes.
It's time to talk about Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, the best, the biggest lender in the country, and a very customer-centric business. I mean, that's one of the things I love about Quicken Loans. And we've talked before about Rocket Mortgage, which is their entirely online mortgage approval process. Let me go in a little bit more detail about why Rocket Mortgage is more than just an easy way to apply for a loan. It's the best way to apply for a new home loan. Interest rates are starting to go up, aren't they? That adds a lot of anxiety. And the last thing you want when you're buying the most expensive thing you'll ever buy, even more expensive than an i9 MacBook Pro and an eGPU, you need to get the sense that, okay, I need the zen of being able to take my time and choosing the right house, not being rushed into it. That's what Rocket Mortgage is bringing you with something they call the power buying process. It starts, as always with Rocket Mortgage, with this really simple to use Rocket Mortgage website. It's rocketmortgage.com/twit2. A few simple questions. They get everything they need. They have all the relationships with the financial institution. So once you give them permission, they can go out and get the information they need. And then based on income, assets, and credit, they will quickly give you approval, but within 24 hours, they'll give you something called verified approval. So you get the pre-qualified approval right away. Within about 10 minutes, 8 minutes, the verified approval within a day, that gives you the strength of a cash buyer. It's basically saying, we are going to give this person that loan. So when you go in to buy a house, the seller looks at you like a cash buyer. There's no contingency on getting the loan. You got the loan. That's fabulous. Then the next thing happens. It really eliminates the anxiety. You get the rate shield approval. This is a guaranteed rate for up to 90 days. That means you have time to look at all the houses. You have time to, you know, breathe and find the right place, not be rushed into it. If your rate is locked in. If rates go up, your rate does not move. If rates go down, though, by the way, your rate will drop. So you win either way. You just kind of have peace of mind there. This is exactly what you'd expect from America's best mortgage lender. RocketMortgage.com/twit2 from Quicken Loans. RocketMortgage.com/twit2. When it's time to buy that new home, this is the one and only way to do it. Great rates, that sense of confidence, and the zen of knowing you're not in a rush. You got Quicken Loans backing you up. Rate shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. You don't have to remember all that. Just remember this, rocketmortgage.com/twit and the number 2, rocketmortgage.com/twit2. We thank Quicken Loans. They've been a big supporter of this network. We appreciate it. The
I knew
best.
You were the right man for the job.
The right man to get you into, what's it going to take to get you into a new home, Owen J.J. Stone?
You to liquefy 22% of your old gadgets so I can sell them on eBay at a high rate so that I can put my down payment and use rocketmortgage.com to get the lowest rates available.
You know,
like I said, we're going to negotiate these terms, Uncle Leo. We're going to get this done.
I made two mistakes. I shouldn't have shorted Tesla. Oh, I love it. The shorts have lost now more than $2 billion.
Lost their shorts.
They lost their shorts. And I invested in MoviePass. Maybe that was a mistake. I don't know.
Yikes.
have any of you used MoviePass?
So
no.
Yeah. I just thought it's too good to be true. I'm not going to do it. What about you, Owen?
I saw Owen's tweet. It was pretty funny.
Man, everybody who follows me on the internet knows that I am the person that destroyed
MoviePass. As soon as they said they were giving out, as soon as they said it was $9.99 a month, I got one for me. Leah got her first credit card with her name on it. I got one for Leah. I paid $20 a month. Last year alone, I saw 73 movies times two.
That averaged out to them paying
for 79% of the movie. Like they made $1.66 per movie off of me when the movies are $14 a pop. That's how many movies I saw. This year, I'm on record for 54 movies times two. Let me tell you how bad I am with these movies. I went to go see like a Jesus movie, Apostle movie. I fell asleep in it, didn't care, didn't lose no money.
Didn't cost you anything.
I went and saw the Gotti movie, which is the 57th Gotti movie. It was horrible. I walked out, didn't give a hoot, Ann or Annie. I'm seeing 3-4 movies a week, and I personally, me and my daughter, have destroyed and decimated MoviePass. It is people like us that has made this company go bankrupt. I'm super kind of sad, but I got a backup plan. It's just amazing how dumb they were to think that this was going to work. I don't know what the plan was. I was expecting them to raise the rate after 3 months. They did not. And I expected after 6 months, they did not. Then they did the year upfront membership because I was doing month to month. They wanted people to pay $120 a year. And that gets more cash influx, which floated me through Christmas. And now they're just like, what are you doing? AMC charges $20 a month and puts a limit on three movies per week. These guys say count any on movie, doctor. Anytime. I was watching movies on primetime Friday night. I'm seeing movies from paying customers with my daughter falling asleep, snoring in them.
They ran out of cash last Friday and went offline. What did you do? Did you run out and get the other one, cinema, or there's others, right?
So I live in a I don't live in a high rated populace. So a lot of my movies are grayed out, but I can still see some. And now I can only see each movie at one time during the day. So I guess it's the movie where no one's going to see it.
Boost the price 50%, they said.
Yeah. I'll pay $20 a month. Like I said, I don't mind. I've been stealing hand over fist. I feel like I owe MoviePass.
He ran him into the ground.
He's the man who broke MoviePass.
Me and my daughter, I'm going to tell y'all a secret. And MoviePass, if you come find me and you want to yell at me or cancel my account, don't matter. Y'all broke now. This is how dumb and inadequate their system was, okay? My local movie theater had a cheap day on Tuesdays where the tickets were half price.
Yeah.
Well, I would take Lee and her friends, and I'd be going to Will to pay for their tickets.
Yeah.
But for some reason, MoviePass did not adjust the amount of money they were paying to the theater. And I ordered 4 tickets, and they say, oh, that's 5 cents. And I'm like, no, man. And they said, no, sir, it's going to be 5 cents. Because they're and guess what? Every Tuesday, I said, Liam, bring your friends.
For a nickel.
This is gold.
When I was a kid, that's how much movies cost, a nickel. And actually, your dad would give you a nickel. You'd get the movie and a box of popcorn.
And let me tell you something. Parents out here thinking I'm rich beyond the riches because I'm paying for their kids to go to the movies, not knowing I'm only paying 5 cents. Thank you, MoviePass. I appreciate you and love you. And I apologize that y'all are broke. I am definitely I'm a power user. They weren't expecting somebody like me. They weren't expecting the Tyrannosaurus Rex to come through.
You're like the guy who goes to the all-you-can-eat buffet and basically wipes it out. I bet you'd do that, actually.
Hey, I've been thrown out of buffets before.
I'm fat. I ain't never been thrown out of no buffet. I've been looked at, but ain't nobody come up to me. Out.
You've been thrown out for eating too much?
Oh, yeah. Well, sir, it was such and such price or what have you, and I just keep raking in. I mean, I have a big appetite. I mean, I'm not that big of a guy, but I have a really big appetite, and I would go to these buffets and just eat. And then there was a time or two where it was a challenge just to see, well, can I get thrown out today? And then, you know, me and my best friend, we would go. He's a big meathead, too. So we would just go and just crush it.
Wow.
Just see what could happen. Golden Corral is one of my favorite ones.
So Ant broke Golden Corral. You broke MoviePass. What did you break, Ed Bott, huh?
I wish I knew. I
wish you had the economic power of these guys. So
he's smart. He's not going to put it out there. He's not trying to set himself up.
Speaking of economic power, backlash. Fortnite announced a couple of months ago that they were making $150 million a day on iOS. This is for a free game, but there's in-app purchases. And of course, that means Apple made $50 million a day because they take a third
of it. I bet you they won't send out alerts to tell you that you've been on that game for 16 hours straight and you didn't go to school.
They say, do you want a dance move? It's only $5.
Yep. That game is horrible. I feel.
I love it.
I won't let my daughter play it.
No, I wouldn't let my daughter play it. But
I can't. Again, you got to keep your kids away from crack cocaine. You don't want your kids to do heroin. Tell them heroin's bad.
It is crack.
Fortnite is a drug.
So it's coming to Android, but this is interesting. Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic, said, we're not going to put it in the Play Store.
Good for them.
Now, remember, Apple doesn't let you choose. So Apple, they had to give them their 30%. But they say, no, you know what? We want all $150 million. We want it all.
Can you blame them?
No. So we're going to sideload it. But maybe you can blame them for this. Some people have. In order to do that, you have to turn off the feature that protects you on Android that says only download apps in the Play Store. You have to say, and it'll give you a big warning. This is not secure. You shouldn't get apps from anywhere but the Play Store. But you can sideload it from the Fortnite website.
And that's how you destroy MoviePass on Android phones, by not paying them their fair share when you're making all this money hand over fist. Just go through the store and pay the cut.
That's an interesting take. All right.
It doesn't change the
player's point of view. In fact, in a way, you're taking advantage of people because they're going to make their phone less secure. And how many people are going to turn that back on?
And how many people even understand that that's what they're doing with their device? And especially because mostly a lot of kids play it, you're setting your kid up to be vulnerable. I don't like that at all.
There's also the question of maybe it will impede the number of people install Fortnite, because I bet you a lot of people don't even know how do I do that? What do you mean I can't get it at the Play Store? If it's not in the Play Store, it may not exist for a lot of people.
And what if it's buggy because it's not regulated at all and it's just killing your all kinds of problems with that. I don't like it. Pineapples. I don't like it.
I bet the kids that are playing Fortnite and are curious about getting this on Android, they already know how to do all of this stuff. Yeah. They already know how to go in and flip the toggles and whatnot. Yeah. Heck, they're probably even running their own VPNs on phones. Those kids are.
You're giving kids a lot of credit, bro. I'm out here.
Pretty sharp.
I don't know. Maybe it's part of country I live in. I'm out here coaching. And I'm listening to kids talk about Fortnite. I don't even know if they know their ABCs yet, man. I don't know.
There's a little bit of that around here too.
I want them to pay their fair share. That's all I'm saying. I don't like that.
Ed Bott, do you have any opinion?
Well, no. The 30% racket for all of the online stores is sometimes it's justified. Sometimes, like in the case of Amazon, it's a blunt force instrument of competition, and I understand the argument about building a curated store, but I also saw the service revenues that Apple reported in its most recent quarter. And
more than $10 billion, more than the Mac and iPad together.
Yeah. They're not hurting there on that. Yeah. So I think there's probably,
if they're making $10 billion, how much is everybody else making though? And you wouldn't be able to make any money if they didn't offer you the service and price. So, I mean, it's a give and take.
Some developers like it because they don't have to worry about distribution at all. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to think about bandwidth. There's no costs. They just put it on the store. Now, some developers don't like the fact that you have to get through the store. The store is quite a gatekeeper. There's a lot of apps you couldn't get on there because Apple is kind of prudish and so forth.
In general, the only developers who are making big bucks on any mobile store are those with sticky, addictive
things like
games.
Yep.
Games and things with in-app purchases. The companies that have been devastated, the developers that have been devastated, are the ones that are making productivity apps where they don't have 30% to give up, and they were once able to legitimately charge $50 for an app or $99 for an app.
Look how much Windows, Microsoft Office was. I mean,
we can even go down from there, but where in order to pay for the time that the developer takes to develop that app, to debug it, to test it, to support it and to upgrade it, you know, and then the customers are going to say, we want it $4.99 or $9.99, or we're not going to pay anything over $9.99. $9.99 is like the top of the line. You know, that's like considered expensive. And so there's, I have talked to developers who had successful apps who have gone back. Now they're working in corporate jobs now, writing websites and line of business apps, because their really good productivity app is no longer a thing.
It's a very bold move by Epic. It'll be very interesting to see what the impact is, if it kills Fortnite on Android, or if it makes Fortnite sing, if Epic makes more money. I mean, this will be very interesting. And if other people follow suit, it could completely destroy the Play Store. It could, you know, I mean, of course, it's like the PC. You don't, you could buy in the Windows Store, or you can turn off S mode and buy and get stuff everywhere else.
And not everybody's
Fortnite. Model. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, not everybody's Fortnite.
Yeah.
So
yeah, not everybody can do that. Go ahead. What was the question, Ed?
What's the model for people like Atlassian and Jira that have, you know, they're big platforms for corporations and whatnot, but then they also have a mobile app? And I mean, is it that they're just sort of writing off that mobile app as just something they have as an option?
Exactly.
But we're just banking solely on the platform.
Exactly. The mobile app is free. And the subscription is where you make the money. And in fact, those are two very good examples, because they're freemiums, right? And most people who use Slack, for instance, don't pay for Slack.
Slack 95% is typically, if you can get 5% of your users to pay the premium, you can usually make a profit.
It's an interesting model. Yeah.
Nice.
I think we should wrap this up, don't you? I think it's gone on too long. this is definitely an episode that
I hope you raise my glass to Ant.
You brought your Merlot. Cheers. Your brown liquor, your popcorn. Owen JJ Stone brought his movie pass.
after the show, I got to show you something. I had Leah's doing YouTube videos, and she did a movie reaction video, Uncle Leo. You got to watch
fun.
It.
Oh, fun. And by the way, YouTube is where you find this new Ninja Parenting podcast, too. What's the channel?
Yeah. It's everything's on IQMZ.com. So if you go there, you'll find it. Like I said, doing a Raising a Ninja thing, because people always ask me how I got my kid out here fighting and killing and learning in these streets. And then I also put a thing on IQMZ Tech showing the camera that I use, the software I use.
Nice.
People always ask how I get looking so luxurious on your show. Not me, just the stream coming through. I don't look luxurious, but the picture does, and the bouquet and all that stuff behind me. So if you go there, you can see a list of everything that I use and I have, and it is awesome. And it's in there for you.
Very nice. IQMZ.com. Ant Pruitt is a contributing writer for the fabulous Tech Republic. He's also Ant_Pruitt on Twitter. Anything you want to plug? You're doing those Friday night videos, right?
Yeah, had another fun night live editing Friday, and that's the thing. I'd like for people to go and check out my YouTube channel and just hop in and leave a comment on some stuff that you like or dislike, so I know what exactly everybody is wanting from photography and just digital content creation stuff.
This
is not always photography. I also did a live stream for editing some video stuff.
Nice.
I think it was doing some lower thirds and things like that. I'm
and
just trying to.
He's the drone master too. Great, great drone pilot.
Yeah, I have fun flying my drones.
That's nice.
I need to come hang out with you, Ant, and get my drone game up.
You bet.
Come on down.
I do fly. I'm a rogue flyer. I'm not really, you know. I don't know if I have my drone. Do I have my drone over here? Where am I throwing it?
You'll find Ant's YouTube channel, youtube.com/AntPruitt. That's the smallest, stinkiest. What is that?
Hey, don't worry about what I'm doing.
Did that come in a cereal box, Owen? What the hell?
This is a Tello.
There's a drone. That's a manly drone.
Oh, okay.
But there's
first
one
of all,
problem,
don't be outshining me. I know you got the toys. This is Leah's drone, okay?
That's different.
This is Leah's drone. It flies itself pretty much, so.
Yeah. That's what you need. Because Leo... This Leo over here is really good at flying drones into things,
The worst. Yeah.
Including the Caribbean, last drone. And I'm never buying another drone. That's it.
You are banned, sir.
I'm banned. Banned from drone life. Ed Bott writes regularly. The Ed Bott Report, ZDNet must read, including his Surface Go review. Lots more. It's wait a minute. How to upgrade from home to pro for free? Wait a minute. How can I do that? Oh, I guess I'll have to read the Ed Bott Report.
It's been a really popular post. I've just updated it.
Nice.
Because I
got this, you know, I wanted to upgrade to Pro because I want BitLocker on my new Surface Go, and they wanted $99. So
yeah, and if you read this article, it will explain to you how you can do it without paying the $99. And I'll bet now there's no trick in there, but I'll bet you meet the qualifications You've got a drawer box in your garage that has the product key that you need.
Okay. It's in there somewhere. EdBott@ZDNet. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad you were here today. I hope you brought some brown liquor and popcorn because this was quite the show.
Lagavulin, baby.
Oh, it's the Lagavulin, baby.
Lagavulin.
We're talking single malt.
That's right.
Yes, sir. None of these blends for Ant. If you want to watch us do this show, we do it Sunday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. You can watch on the stream, twit.tv/live. We've got audio and video, number of different purveyors, so you can choose the stream that's right for you. You can also visit us in the studio. We had a great bunch of people in here from Doylestown, PA. We had Olga and Peter. We had, and Aura, too, or Ah. Anna? Aha? Aura? Anyway, I see a name. I can't read it. John from Modesto and a nice couple, Jessica and Brian from Sacramento. If you want to be in the studio audience, easy to do. I'll mispronounce your name, too. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv, and it's no charge, but you got to be in the Petaluma area. That's the only catch. Our chat room, irc.twit.tv, a great place to be if you're watching live or watching anytime. On-demand versions of this show and every show we do are available at our website, twit.tv. It's a no BS website. I promise. It loads fast, gets the job done, no cost to you. You can even subscribe in your favorite podcast application. That way you'll get it every week. Right before you leave for work on Monday, you can listen to This Week in Tech. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you next time. Another Twit.
This is amazing.
He's in the game. Bye-bye.
Doing the Twit.